Let's sing number 234. We're not of the world, which fadeth away. We're not of the night, but children of day. The chains that once bound us by Jesus are riven. We're strangers on earth. Our home is in heaven. Someone raise the tune, please. Let's turn to 1 Timothy for a few verses. It's not going to be the main subject of my message, but First Timothy 1, the end of verse 10, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. How important that is. The word doctrine is the same as teacher. And we're in a day when sound doctrine is not found too many places. Let's go to the second epistle, 2 Timothy. And in chapter 2 and verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And in chapter 3, we have, in the last verse, now I'll read from verse 14. Continue thou, Paul is writing to Timothy here, a young man, his son in the faith. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. From a child thou knowest the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And this last verse, so important. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Doctrine. Chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. It has come, beloved. It's right here in this nation. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables. Well, that's, I think, enough to introduce what I want to take up. I want to go to the Gospel of John, and I want to look at the many passages that bring before us that he was sent of the Father. It's very precious, very wonderful. But it's so important that we have sound doctrine. I was visiting David and Billy Jennings coming here, and I said to them, what is the one thing that has been the most damaging to the Bible? To the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. If you don't believe that, then you're in real trouble. Real trouble. And in schools, they're teaching this awful doctrine of evolution. And that's what it is. If you believe evolution, you can't believe this book. And evolution is supposed to be scientifically backed up, which, of course, is the lie of Satan. It's not backed up by anything scientific at all. I was in the doctor's office recently with Laverne. She was having a little trouble with her throat. And it was eyes, ears, nose, throat, and throat doctor. And while he was out of the room, I was looking at all these pictures of the different parts of the human body. And how can any doctor, how can anyone with an ounce of sense on his shoulders believe when he looks at the intricacies of just the ear or the eye or the throat that was just an evolved thing just by chance? It's absolutely absurd. And yet, it's for young people, they don't try to defend it. They just present it and say, well, these dinosaurs or whatever animals they were, millions of years old. That's a lie. They're not that old. And that's not important how old they are. The importance is that God did it. God did it. That's the only thing that makes any sense. What I want to do is, now let's go back to John's Gospel, chapter 5. I want to emphasize for our young men, especially, read the Bible. Read the Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the most attacked chapters in the Bible are the first 11 chapters in Genesis. And if you can destroy any of the Bible, then you, of course, you've destroyed it all. Because it's all interdependent, the one on the other. If you can destroy what it says in Genesis as to man's creation and that, then you're making Christ a liar, because he said that it was done that way. He speaks of Moses as the one that brought it to us. So the Bible all stands and falls together, and as you can't believe a certain part of it and reject another part, that is so important. I was saved as a freshman in college from my lot of studying in engineering. And I was not a reader. When I got saved, then I became a reader. Because then I had something that was worthwhile reading. And it was the Word of God. And ministry on it. Very, very precious. I remember reading a book. I went to his office on a Saturday, and it was a poor choice. And he was going from one office to another, and he saw me sitting there, and he knew he didn't have any time to, he knew what I was there for, to get over the Word with him. He was a Christian. And he said, just a minute. He saw I was going to walk away. I probably would never have come back. And he gave me a book by Moody's, and it was called Heaven or Hell, Which? I was just a young believer, very young. In fact, at that time, maybe he wouldn't have even called me a believer. But anyway, I read that book. And the author of the book said, Heaven or hell, you're going to one place or the other. Which one? And I said, Lord, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I had no background training at all in religion of any kind. And that was probably good in one way. And it wasn't very long, and I knelt down, and I said, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. And I reached up the hand of faith, and I laid hold upon the man in the glory, and I received him. Remember, I used to come, and I would take his notes down, and I was an avid writer taking notes, and he'd say some things, and I'd have a note down, and I'd put an X in it. Wrong. I was reading Mr. Darby's writings, just feeding on them. I said, that's not right. He said, well, I don't know. I don't know about this Darby fellow. You know, he was very up on his ideas. Well, after a little while, he saw the interest I was showing, and he used to call me Mr. Hendricks. I'll never forget the time he said, Brother Hendricks. And I said, I'm no longer outside. Now I'm inside. Brother Hendricks. And the Lord took him home. He was my teacher. And it was good for me because he had a lot of error. And that's how I came amongst the KLC brethren. And because Brother Clark was a brother, an Irishman, going to a German meeting. And I used to pick him up and take him down. Well, read the Word, young person. I'm old now. I don't have the kind of memory I used to have. And I can't read like I used to read. Don't wait till you're old. Use it while you're young. Spend your time in this book. Make it your own. Make it your own. Well, let's go to what I want to talk about. In John chapter 5, we can start there. John chapter 5. Try to make, as we go through this Gospel of John, try to make your doctrine, your understanding, we'll point it out as we go through it, and start with verse 23. That all men, well, verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Stop there. Put that down as doctrine number one. That's an essential truth. If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. There are a lot of religions in Christendom today that don't honor the Son, and yet they say they believe in the Father. That's enough right there to say you can't do that. That's contrary to Scripture. Have your thoughts formed by the Word of God. And let's go on. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. He loves to speak of himself as being sent of the Father, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 30, another truth. I can of mine own self do nothing. He did not come independently of the Father. He was sent of the Father, and he was here to give the words of the Father and do the works of the Father. Everything was from the Father. If you know Jesus, if you know him, you know the Father, because he is the one that revealed him, that sent him. Don't ever forget that. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Wonderful truth. These statements are statements of truth that you should put down in your memory. One of the verses that Paul, I didn't read it, but that Paul brought before Timothy was, meditate upon these things. When I was in the hospital a year ago or so, I couldn't read much, but I could meditate. I did more meditating lying on that bed. So I'd bring a scripture before me, and then I'd meditate on it. And tears running down my cheeks as I meditated on the truth of God. Meditate, young person. Don't just read it. Don't just read a chapter and then close the book and then forget what you've read. Meditate. Meditate on these things. See what they say. Make it a part of you. Make it yours. Oh, that's so important. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, the Lord says, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Precious truth. Everything he said. You remember later the Jews who wanted the Lord to be brought to them, and they came, those that were supposed to bring the Lord, and they didn't have him. And they said, why haven't you brought him? And they said, no man ever spoke like that man. No man ever spoke like that man. And no one ever did. He spoke words that were given to him from the Father. If you know the Son, you know the Father. So any religion that teaches differently, you can forget it, can reject it, and don't have anything to do with it. Verse 36. I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Those works that he did, works that the Father gave him to do as the sent one. He was here to represent the Father. For the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. You saw he's talking to the Pharisees. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. They professed to believe in God the Father, Jehovah, but they wouldn't listen to the Son. And everything the Son said was given to him of the Father. Like Father, like Son. All you have to know is that simple truth, and you'll be able to reject a host of error that's out there in the Christian world. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are there which testify of me. In his prayer, the Lord Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee." He's addressing the Father, that they might know thee, the Father. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Whom thou hast sent. The sent one speaking about the Father that sent him. And to know the Son is to know the Father. And if you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father. You know nothing about the true God. Really. I know you, he says, because you have not the love of God in you. Well, let's go on through the Gospel of John. Precious, precious book. Verse 28, chapter 6. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." That's me, he says. "Believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world." Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." When you're lying in a bed in a hospital, you can't read too much, and you just ponder verses like this. Pretty hard to do without tears running down. These truths that we have in this book, make it your own. Make it your own. Don't ever even entertain for a moment that this is not the Word of God. That the Son is not the sent one of the Father. That's fundamental truth. Don't ever give it up. Verse 40, he says, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I'll raise him up at the last day." This is life eternal, that they might know thee, Father, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Life eternal doesn't just mean life forever. It is that true, but it's the knowledge of God the Father and God the Son. Life eternal. Verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 40, I missed that. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day." Verse 57, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." To eat him is to take him in and make him part of your very being. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Let's go on in the Gospel of John, verse 18 of chapter 7, verse 16 in chapter 7. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." You can't say, "I believe in the Father, but not the Son." You can't say that. If you say that, you don't know the Father, because you don't know the Son. "He that speaketh of himself," verse 18, "seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Verse 28, "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not." You don't know him because you don't know me. And I am here the very representation, I'm here the very exposition of the Father. Every word I speak is given me of the Father. Every work that I perform is given me of the Father. "But I know him," he says, verse 29, "for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. Verse 33, "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me." I remember after I got saved, I worked at a factory, and I had a little New Testament, and anytime I had a few moments, just a few moments, I'd spend it reading the Gospel of John over and over and over again. There's nothing like John's Gospel. I'm not saying anything little about others, but there's just something special about John's Gospel. Chapter 8, verse 15, "Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Then said they unto him, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." What these verses are telling us, and we should never give one inch to any argument that comes, if you know the Son, you know the Father. If you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father, and you can't know him because he is the perfect representation of the Father. The Father sent him, and he came as sent of the Father. Now that's sound doctrine. That's sound doctrine. Don't ever give it up. Chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me." Let me back up to verse 40 so you get the connection. "But now," the Lord says, "ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself as an independent thing, but he sent me." He sent me. "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear the message that's in my speech, my word. You cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil," he tells them. "The lusts of your father ye will do." Verse 45, "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." He was the very expression of the truth. They asked him, "Who art thou?" He says, altogether, absolutely, I think it's John 8, 25, altogether and absolutely, I am what I say. Very expression of what I say. My mom used to say to me, do as I say, don't do as I do. But the Lord Jesus did as he said. Everything he said, he did. He was the living embodiment of and expression of the words that he taught. And he was given those words and those works to do by the Father. So if you know him, you know the Father. You know God. The Father, the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. Verse 47, he says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? And notice how he answers that. Jesus answered, I have not a devil. He rejects that charge. He doesn't say anything about the Samaritan because he was like a good Samaritan. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory as one that seeketh and judgeth. Chapter 9, verse 4. It's one of my favorite chapters, the blind man. Verse 4, I must work, the Lord says, the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Have you ever reflected on that? When he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. The word became flesh. That's what that's a picture of. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. He was the sent one. And he became a man. He made that spittle. The word became flesh. Sent of the Father. That was used to open the eyes of this blind man. When we see who Jesus is, God and man, in one person, as sent of the Father, that's real light. That opens your eyes. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And we know the story so well. I don't want to take too much time reading that. But let's just read at the end of it. Verse 32, since the world began, this is this man talking to the Pharisees, it is not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Because he was born blind, he was altogether born in sins. That was their heretical doctrine. They answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to them, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Lord, who is he, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. They which see not might see. Well, it was the Pharisees that were blind. This man now had his sight. Not only his physical sight, but his spiritual sight. He had come to know who he is. If you don't know who Jesus is, really, the essence of his person, that he, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, you haven't even started the first thing you have to know to be a Christian. I was talking to a young man, and you probably know something about this young man. He had come from our area to this conference some years ago. He had stolen money. Anyway, I was talking to him, and he was talking about a friend of his that was a nice Christian. He says he's just wrong in a few things. I said, what's he wrong in? He doesn't believe in the Trinity. I said, he doesn't believe in the Trinity? He's not a Christian. He's no Christian if he doesn't believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. Oh, he's a Christian. I said, no, he's not. If he doesn't believe in the Trinity, he's not a true Christian. I don't know where he is right now. But these are things that you have to get firmly settled in your soul. Good, sound doctrine that you can always lean upon and refute error that's everywhere. It's amazing the thoughts that are being propagated through the television screen and so on. Lies. Satan is a father of lies. Chapter 10. Let's go on to chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day, for I have not spoken of myself. But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The next chapter, chapter 13, verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Again, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You receive him, you receive the Father. Reject him, you reject the Father. Let's go to the 15th chapter. 15th chapter and verse 16. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, this is something that should go in your sound doctrine book that you're trying to make up as you go through this gospel and other parts of Scripture. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, the first section of John 15 down to verse 17, he's dealing with the relationship among Christians. And now in verse 18, it's the Christian in the world and what the world thinks of us. Notice the difference. If the world hate you, verse 18, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Young people, you go to universities, you go to these places of higher learning, and the higher you go, the worse the error gets. Remember, The world hates you if you're true to Christ. The world hates us who are His. I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. They hated him. If you're going to be a true servant of the Lord Jesus, they'll hate you and me. It's the way it goes. If they have prosecuted me, they will also prosecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't know the Father. They don't know God. They have false gods, if they have any. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. That's strong language. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So from the 14th chapter on, we have the Comforter coming, being sent down of the Father and of the Son, and there we have the whole Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we come to 17th chapter, which is so precious. It's the prayer of the Son to the Father. His word spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, here it is, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Here's the eternal Son addressing the eternal Father and glowing back in his thoughts to the glory that he had with him before he ever became a man. Before he ever became a man. But now he is a man. He'll never cease to be a man. He'll never surrender his humanity. And of course, never his deity. Have you ever just laid there on your bed or wherever it might be and just meditated upon that God and man in one person? Can you fathom that? Can I fathom that? I don't fathom it. It's beyond my puny mind to grasp, but I believe it with all my soul. Because he said it. He who is the truth said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can't get there any other way. All other religions are false. All other ways are wrong. He's the only way. Exclusive. Absolutely exclusive. Verse 8, he says, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. You believe that, don't you? You believe that the Father sent him? If you don't, you're not a Christian. If you don't, you're not a Christian. On the cross, this just comes to mind, and before I forget it again, the Lord uttered 7 utterances. First utterance is from Luke. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Second utterance was from Luke. One of the thieves railed on him, and the other one said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." And then he turned to the Lord and he said, "Lord, remember me." Here he is. He's being crucified right along with the Lord. And he says, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Who wrought that in that man? God the Holy Spirit did. God the Holy Spirit wrought that. Two men, one was a thief that died and went to hell, and the other one, the Lord says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Those are the first two in Luke. And then the third one comes from John's gospel. The Lord is on the cross and he sees his mother there. And John, who called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he says, "Behold thy mother, John, behold thy mother." And he says to his mother, "Behold thy son." Joseph was dead, evidently. If Joseph had been alive, she wouldn't have committed, the Lord wouldn't have committed her to anyone but Joseph. But John was one that he could commit to. Remember, the Lord said, "One of you shall betray me." And they all said, Is it I? And Peter nudged John and says, "Ask him." Peter was always so forward, you know. And he asked him. And John said, he didn't say, "Is it I?" He knew it wasn't he. He lay on his bosom. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he entered into the good of that. The Lord, he loved all of them. But John appropriated it for himself. And he said, "Who is it? Who is it?" He knew it wasn't he. Who is he? Do you know him that well? Do I know him that well? Like John did? Peter made some bad mistakes. He denied him three times. But after he got straightened out and really repented and was recovered and restored, you read the book of Acts and you'll see how restored he was. I used to carry a PA system around with me, and I would stop at a park and set it up and preach. And I stopped at this one park, and it was Jewish. I didn't know. Didn't know there was Jews. I set it up, and I start preaching to them. And they were angry. They were really angry. And I didn't realize how powerful Peter's message was in Acts 2 and 3. I didn't have to say anything. I just read it from Scripture. The words that he gave to those early Jews, I preached it to those later Jews, and it had the same effect on them that it had on the first ones. The Word of God is powerful, quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a divider and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Word of God, always use it. Know it so you can use it as a weapon. The Word of God. In his prayer to the Father, he says of his own, he says, "They are not of the world, verse 16. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world," there it is again, "as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." We're sent ones of the Son. He was sent ones of the Father. "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." If the unity of the church had been maintained, it would have been such a testimony far greater than any evangelist. They would see the unity of the church, not not 100 or 1,000 denominations as we have today, but just one. Well, in the first century, that's all there were. Every time I would witness to someone, one of the nurses or the nurse's aides, they'd say right away, "What denomination do you belong to?" And I'd say, "Well, let's go back to the first century. How many were there?" And she said, "Just one." I said, "That's right. That's the one I belong to. That's the one you belong to if you're saved." Yeah. And she went away, and then she came back a little later. She said, "I've been thinking about that." And she says, "You're right. You're right. The enemy has done his work, hasn't he? That they all may be one, even as we are one. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." We'll experience that when the Lord comes for us, one in glory. All the differences forever gone. "I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Wonderful. The world will see it. The world will know it. Today it's not so. Because of the work of the enemy. Work of the enemy. And then that precious verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." We're going to see him in that unique glory, which is his, a one that we will not share. We'll share the earlier glory in verse 22. We'll share that. But in verse 24, it's his alone. It's his unique glory. But we'll be privileged to look upon it. To look upon him. And then he says, "O righteous Father," the world, when he speaks of the righteous Father, it's a connection with the world. "The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared to them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Well, I've gone through this gospel very quickly. I hope, as you read it, the other thing that's over and over again is where he speaks of his Father as my Father. My Father. My Father. Over and over again. I didn't go through it in that way. I went through it as the sent one. But it's very precious, very unique. He didn't cry on the cross, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" He said, "My God, my God." We didn't finish that, did we? The first was, we've covered that, the first two. And then, what's the third one? Third one comes from, that's the one where he says he committed his mother to John. And then came the, where he doesn't say Father anymore. But he says, "My God, my God." And he said it with a loud voice. Two times it says loud voice. This is the first time. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It wasn't God as Father that was dealing there. It was God as Judge that was dealing with our sins with him in regards to our sins. And that was the last 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of darkness. And then comes, after that, there was one verse. One verse in Psalm 69 says, "In my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And he said, "I thirst. I thirst." That's found in Matthew, Mark, and John. And right after in John, you have, in it with a loud voice, it doesn't say a loud voice, but it was a loud voice. He said, "Finished!" He took that drink, gave him that vinegar, and he drank it. And he said, finished in the Greek, it's one word, tetelestai, finished. Where he cried that cry of abandonment, it was God dealing with our sins. And then he cries another cry, finished, the work is done. And then he goes back to the Father. He says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Starts with the Father, ends with the Father, and in between, it's my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken that you might never be forsaken, that I might never be forsaken. Praise him. Wonderful to know him. Whom to know is life eternal. Life eternal. Well, when you read the word, may it form the doctrine, the teaching of your soul. So when the enemy tries to introduce something different, you say, that's false. That's false. I won't have it. Let's close by singing 283. When we survey the wondrous cross on which the Lord of glory died, our richest gain, we count but loss and pour contempt on all our pride. When some of you have read Mr. Darby's Man of Sorrows, part of that, some of the verses were taken out and made into a hymn. I'll give it to you. O day of deepest sorrow, day of unfathomed grief, when thou didst taste the horror of wrath without relief. Thou soughtest for compassion, some heart thy grief to know, to watch thine hour of passion for comforters in woe. No eye was found to pity, no heart to share thy woe, but shame and scorn and spitting, none cared thy name to know. Then finished all in meekness, thou to thy Father's hand, perfect thy strength in weakness, thy spirit didst commend. O Lord, thy wondrous story our inmost soul doth move. We ponder o'er thy glory, thy lonely path of love. Let's pray.